ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We welcome our friend Teron Davenport to the program. ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm awesome, man. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, I just want to start here. It's a terrifying matchup on paper. It really is. I mean, Myles Garrett, I have no idea what the Titans are going to do to stop him in this game because nobody can stop Myles Garrett. When you look at that part of it specifically, how hard is it in your mind to envision the Titans offense getting anything done in this game when you factor in, number one, how bad the Titans offense has been, and number two, they're taking on a guy this week that, you know, as you know, people try to double, people try to chip, they try to do everything to Myles Garrett all the time, and the dude's got 19 sacks on December the 5th as we sit here today. So is there a scenario where you can envision where he just doesn't totally wreck this thing for the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, outside of him not being healthy, no. I think if you look at this guy, he's a man on a mission, absolute game wrecker. That's what Peter Skoronski called him. And you got a game plan for him, but you still, even once you put it together, it's still not enough. So, yeah, it's going to be tough sledding, that's for sure.
Well, let's stick with, I guess, part of that matchup, obviously, and a guy who I think has been talked about a lot. Probably a lot, even going back into the season. I think we talked about him as like he's one of the key individual storylines, but then obviously it hasn't gone well. You know, is he being called out? Is he not? Whatever. But J.C. Latham, where are you on him, TD? Where is he? You know, in terms of like, do you feel like confidence is an issue? Obviously, you know, there's some film. There's like the play where he basically just Tyjae Spears gets blown up and then Tyjae kind of gets in his face. I mean, that's one play in a game. So there's a lot more snaps than that. He's had some good snaps and some good stretches, but where do you think J.C. Latham is and where the Titans are on him right now?
Yeah, where he is on himself is the big question. And it's just always weird when you have a guy that has a lot of ability and you're not getting the production, you're not getting the level of play that usually goes with, you know, a guy that's very talented. So, look, I think when you look at this, I asked him about the mental mindset, you know, like how do you approach a week of preparation for a guy like Myles Garrett? And he seemed to have a good answer there. You know, he just talked about having confidence in himself, acknowledging that he's a good player, but feeling like he's a good player also, you know. And I think as far as me on J.C. Latham, I'm down. It's not – it hasn't been good, you know, and they just have to figure it out. And you have people already calling for him to bump inside to guard, so that would be yet another move that he made, the third position he will play in the league. I don't know that the Titans are going to do that, but, you know, something just has to click, and – it's just not happening. And unfortunately, like this week, this isn't going to be a good week for his own mental mindset, you know, going against Myles Garrett.
So, TD, obviously, you know, from a national standpoint, there's a lot of talk about Ward and Shadur heading into this game. Mm-hmm. I'm interested from your perspective on the Titans defensive front. Like, what do you make of Shadur still very early in his career? And maybe an opportunity for the Titans defense to really respond and play well this week.
Well, it's all about keeping him in the pocket. And that's what Jeffrey Simmons, he talked about. You know, when he does drift, you got to take advantage of that and get to him. And a game like this, you not only have to get to him, you have to force a turnover, right? And put the offense in position to, you know, get points. And unfortunately, their points are usually field goals, so that just kind of is what it is. But I think when you look at Shadur, they like to boot him. They like to get him on the move. And so when that type of thing is happening, you got to do what you can just to keep him from being able to set up and, you know, find the guys down the field or even on the short passes. Because Harold Fanta Jr., you know, the tight end, I'm from Bowling Green, and this guy is he's a legit playmaker, you know, and he's kind of supplanted David Njoku as the tight end for that offense. So I think really it's about taking those weapons away, making him uncomfortable, and not allowing him to spot up and find his guys.
It's early, and it's not like it's been great or anything like that so far, but I still feel like what I've seen, I see some of the ability that I've always thought Shadur had. I think you were also you were on the Shadur's the best QB in the last draft, right?
I felt like he was the best QB for the Titans. That was the approach that I had. I loved watching him play, and you know, it's still early, like you said.
So I just, and I don't mean to rip Dylan Gabriel. I mean, nice player, nice college career and all that. I just have never bought Shadur or Dylan Gabriel being a better player than Shadur Sanders. Is Shadur Sanders, do you feel like this is going to be like he's going to actually give himself a chance to be their guy, or do you expect them to be full QB market this next offseason?
I think there'll be QB market. Yeah, it's Cleveland, man. You know, that's what they do.
That is true.
They're the equivalent to, you know, every Black Friday, you got TVs on sale. You know what I mean? Every year, they're looking at a quarterback. It's just the way it is.
That's a good point. Good point. TD, another guy I want to ask you about in terms of where you think this is all headed, and that's Sweat, Tavondre Sweat. You know, obviously, heading into the year, there are huge expectations, and he got derailed in training camp with the injury and all those things. There just hasn't been a ton of impact from Tavondre Sweat when you look at the totality of it. So I understand that, you know, injuries have been a part of it this year, but where do you think it's all going with him right now in the short term as the Titans are trying to piece together what their roster is going to look like heading into next year?
Yeah, I mean, he's another one. There's a lot of room for improvement, and you see the talent. And you're not seeing the production. I'll say this, and I said it on Next Man Up yesterday. There was a play early in that game where, you know, it was a screen, and the big fella, you know, 360-plus pounds, you know, he ran down the screen to the opposite side. So you're seeing flashes of the effort and the ability that it took to make the guy a high pick. But, I mean, to your point, you're not having enough of those plays, right? Enough of those big impact plays. And you know what has kind of happened with this also? They found something with Jahad Ward as an inside pass rusher, you know, and Heidi, that guy, he's disruptive, you know, and he could play inside and outside, but you look on passing downs. I was watching on Sunday, you know, you see 93 come running out, and 53 bumps inside. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what's happening. The reps there aren't happening as much because Jahad Ward has just frankly played better.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ignore him at this point now. Is he potentially, you know, someone who, you know, could be actually like a part of the not just super short-term future for this team?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's wild to think, you know, he was a second-round pick out of Illinois. He bounced around multiple teams. But, yeah, I think he definitely can. And here's the thing, Rexel, it's more than just what he's doing on the field. If you're in that locker room, you know, he's one of the guys that kind of keeps it upbeat. But he's also someone that has the mindset that is good for these younger players. You know, I was talking to him yesterday, and he said the biggest lesson that he's learned in the league is to communicate. And he said it's not just communicating from player to player. Communicate with your coaches. Communicate with the person, the development group, and those things. And you never know what you can learn from someone. And he said that. I'm like, wow, like that's a life lesson, let alone – you know, just a football lesson, you know.
So, TD, I want to get your thoughts on this. We talked about this earlier. Charles Robinson was on yesterday and talked about, you know, kind of the uncertain future here with Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he gave the example of it, you know, kind of starting to feel like, you know, Andy Reid at the end of his tenure in Philadelphia. So, look, I understand there's a long way to go. I understand that if he came available, there would be probably a long list of teams that want to get him in there, and I don't know where the Titans would fall on that. But my question for you is, if he becomes available, like, is Mike Tomlin unquestionably your number one guy on the list? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is another thing we went over. And that's, you know, Charles had a great analogy. You know, Andy, I remember Andy Reid at towards the end of Philly, and it was just like, it was stale. Like, it was the relationship, it just kind of, it ran its course. And that's kind of what you're seeing in Pittsburgh. But, man, would they really fire him? You know, this three coaches in the history since, what, 1965?
Yeah.
That's crazy to think of. But if he does become available, imagine, you know, he brings Arthur Smith there, keeps Denard Wilson, keeps John Fossil. I think that's a coaching staff that could do some things, you know. But it's like, would he go from the most stable organization maybe in sports? Three coaches in over 50 years, you know. Would he go from that to one of the most unstable organizations in the league? That's the question that I would have.
Yeah, I like that you got the whole staff put together there. I like it. I like the sound of it. Yeah, I have a feeling that he probably would have better options. And, yeah, talk about, no doubt, talk about like a contrast in ownership. My goodness. Let's stay on the coaching front, TD. Sorry. Let's stay on the coaching front. Just Mike McCoy, it just seems like, and I understand, like, everybody, like, we're all at times like, dude, just go for it, right, with Mike McCoy. But is it more than that, like, in terms of player frustration with him, or is it mostly just frustration with losing and, you know, at times his lack of aggression?
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. Imagine winning four games in almost 2 years. I couldn't imagine that. You know, that would disgust me, you know. And I think when you look at some of the things, like fourth and three, they don't go for it because their play that they had was for a fourth and two. A yard? Like, what's going on here? So it's unfortunate that he's in that situation and he says some of the things he says, because it really is like you scratch your head like, I mean, what's the difference? You know, so it's a bad situation.
That fourth and three is tough sometimes, TD. Fourth and two, I feel good about.
Fourth and two, no problem at all.
That's when you really start to question things, I think.
Here's where it gets like, come on, man. Because you talk about being in more manageable type of situations, right? And obviously that's referring more to earlier in the series. But like you try to stay ahead of schedule earlier in the series so you could get into these fourth and three situations. And then just to think, like, even look at the run game. You know, 36 rushing yards on that first series, you know, Tony Pollard had. They didn't run the ball after that. And it's user error, right? You know, because you look at, like, they would call a run. It would get, like, 3 yards. But then you have a penalty that knocks them off schedule. And next thing you know, it's a three and out, and they're punting, and the defense is back on the field. And it's just like, you know, they're going on the field. Rex, remember the song, Here We Go Again, the DMX one? You know, that's how they're running it back on the field. Here we go again. You know what I mean? After another three and out, it's tough.
Play that on your phone really loud next time he talks.
No, just the only thing you need to do with your phone when he's talking is be ready to call 911 in case Kuharski passes out in the middle of it. TD.
Yeah, man, that poor guy.
Oh, man. Enjoy yourself in Cleveland this weekend. I guess we could see a little bit of snow up there on Sunday, so get excited about that, and we will talk to you next week, my man.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. This is like, tomorrow I'm staying inside, man. That's it. I'm not going outside. Sunday, we'll see what happens.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Teron Davenport presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. We'll react to what TD had to say on the Titans and the Browns coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. We will have Pigskin Pick'em coming up here very shortly, here in about 10 minutes. Joe, as I mentioned with TD, it's hard to imagine Myles Garrett not just totally wreaking havoc on this game here. As TD said, as long as he is healthy in the game. I mean, think about this. I was thinking about this earlier this week. He's at 19 sacks in 12 games, which is just absurd what he's been able to do. And yet, that would require, Joe, 3.5 sacks in this game for him to tie the single-season sack record. And yet, legitimately, truthfully, if you ask me here today whether or not I would be surprised if he didn't do it on Sunday, my answer is yes. Like, I will be legitimately surprised if Myles Garrett doesn't finish with at least 3.5 sacks on Sunday. Just think about how ridiculous that sounds, Joe. But that's where I am.
Yeah. Well, we could have a wager. I don't think he'll. I'll take the controversial stance that he will only get 3 sacks. Okay. I actually set the over under at 2.5, which is an insanely high over under for one player in sacks in a game. By the way,
NFL game.
Yeah. Like the over under, for Myles Garrett in any game would be what? I don't know. For people who do player props, I mean, it's probably 1.5, I guess.
Probably.
Like, you couldn't possibly go higher than that, right? Like, if you're, right? Like, if you're a sports book, you couldn't possibly go higher than 1.5. It's like baseball. It's always 1.5, right?
You're correct. I mean, okay. I'm trying to see if I can look on here and find what his prop is here.
And I'm selling him short.
Yeah, I'm seeing consensus 1.5. There's a 1.25 on here too from some places.
Please explain that to me.
I don't know.
Well, I guess that's right. You can get
over
half
or
sacks.
Under if you half get a sacks. Half sacks.
That's true. You can get half sacks. Okay. I was like, wait a minute. What? One and a quarter. Yeah, okay. All right.
1.107.
Pie. He's going to have pie sacks against the Titans. 3.14, like, 7.30, blah, blah, blah.
Danielle Hunter this week is 0.75 over-under on some places. So it's probably around there, you know, give or take on any given week.
So I'm going to disrespect him and say the over-under for him this week is 2.5. But I think he's only going to get 3 sacks, Robbie.
Wow, what a disappointing day for him that would be.
Exactly.
I mean, his last 5 games, he's got 5 sacks against New England, 1 against the Jets, 4 against the Ravens, 3 against the Raiders, 1 against the 49ers. That's his last 5 games. So, I mean, that's incredible. 19 sacks through 12 games.
No, it really is. And, you know, think about from the perspective of, like, the holistic Cleveland Browns, I feel like if you go back through – some of the great sack seasons and just players, you know, you're talking about, you know, LT and great Giants teams, Bruce Smith and Super Bowl Buffalo teams, Reggie White and great Eagles and Packers teams, or at least very good. Like, they don't even have leads. It's not like he has a bunch of fourth quarters where his team's up 2 touchdowns. They're like, there you go. You know they're throwing on this now. Just keep going and get the quarterback. No. Like, they're in like low scoring usually, or they're getting their butts kicked, and he still is dominant. I don't think that enough is made of that. Situationally, he's at a disadvantage, and yet he's still doing this. It's truly incredible.
Well, and again, like, I think back to Dan Moore when they signed him. And it was like, well, yeah, he played in the AFC North. So you don't have to worry about that. Well, guess what?
Well,
we're back. Back in the AFC North coming up this weekend. And I think about the way he's playing and the way that Latham is playing right now. And I don't know what the Titans are going to do to stop him in this game.
Hi, Mandor. I mean, Dan Moore. Good to see you again. Miles, remember me?
You want to swap jerseys after the game?
Oh, there's your jock strap. Pick that up. Give me your jersey. No, it's going to be between that, you know, the intrigue of that. And of course, obviously the Shador, I don't see how there's any actual discourse. Again, TD and I were highest on Shadur and others in this draft, or I guess TD said for the Titans. For me, it was in this draft. I still don't think either of these guys should have been taken first overall. If Shadur beats Cam Ward, you know, remember that it doesn't mean much. But I'm sure if that happens, I guess if Shadur plays really well, which is possible, I mean, he is playing the Titans, then maybe some people will shed a tear.
Myles Garrett will have 4.5 sacks on Sunday. That's what I'm. That's my official prediction.
Okay.
4.5.
I got him at 3. If you're him, is it disappointing that you set the record against a team that's this cheeks?
Nope.
Okay.
Just go ahead and do it.
Like, I'd rather set it against the Steelers or the Ravens. You know what I mean?
I think it would be awesome if he set the record with still like a month left to play football. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, we don't have to have Brett Favre like, oh, hi, buddy. Hi, Michael. Here, let me lay down for you. What a joke.
Looks like the record for most sacks in a game belongs to Derek Thomas. I believe, was it seven or nine? Hold on.
I mean, you could have told me.
Which is it?
Seven.
I was going to say, if someone got 9 sacks in a game, dude.
7 games versus Seattle in November of 1990.
Wow.
I mean, look, we saw Chandler Jones get he had about 1 billion sacks against Taylor Lewan in that Arizona game, didn't he? I think
Did he have five?
It was 5.
He had 5, full 5. Wow.
Yeah.
Welcome back out, it's Mandor! If the Titans do give up the record, they absolutely have to introduce the offense next home game so that Latham and Mandor can both be introduced.
Don't even make Cam Ward run out last. Just get him out there and then have the two tackles come out last. Save the two tackles for the last players.
Together. Have them come out together with arms locked.
And now in tandem, Dan Moore and J.C. Latham.
They can come out like the Iowa. You ever watch when Iowa comes in and they just walk really slowly with their arms locked? Very intimidating.
The 11,000 people in the stands just yelling. Be good stuff. So, yeah, anyway, Titans-Browns should be a lot of fun on Sunday.
We're down bad. Yep.
Over under 33.5. How about it?
Oh, boy.
My God,
33.5 for an NFL game.
That's about as low as it gets.
I don't think I've ever heard a lower over under.
Well, it could be like spitting snow a little bit too. I don't think it's going to be crazy, but I just looked at the weather in Cleveland. They could get like an inch of snow on Sunday.
And who's taking the over? Anybody?
I'm not. Well, look, don't underestimate the Titans' ability to give up a lot of points to anybody.
14-3, 21-3, 20. Yeah. You know, we have a 21-7. Those are all under, so it could be right around there.
I mean, like. It's not crazy that this game could be 20-17, is it? is that asking too much?
I don't think
17 points.
17 points against that defense.
Yeah. Okay. 23-14.
I don't think they're scoring 2 touchdowns against that defense.
27-10.
You need a DK punt return. That's what they really need in this game.
Yeah.
Or some type of defensive turnover and set yourself up in good field position.
Maybe he leads the NFL in total yards, by the way.
He does. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up next, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Now it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. A standings update in the competition. Rex Road again leading the way last week, 4-2 with his lock. I went 3-3 with my lock. Ian 2-4, no lock, which brings the overall standings. I'm remaining first, 44-40 overall, 6-8 on my locks, 50 points. Rex Road has vaulted into second place, 37-47 overall, but 9-5
Let's go.
On his locks, 46 points. Ian Safar, 40-44, 5-9 in his locks, 45 points. So, some changing in the competition.
We got a stretch run here. Everybody's in this thing.
Everybody's in it. It is conference championship weekend, and that is where we begin today. The SEC championship, Georgia taking on Alabama. Georgia is a 2.5-point favorite in this matchup. Joe, I'm going first, and I'm going to take Alabama. In the matchup, I'd take Alabama to cover And I will take Alabama to win outright. But look, it's Georgia-Alabama. Until Georgia beats them with some sort of consistency, I'm going to Alabama. So I'll take Alabama plus the 2.5. Joe Rexroad, who we got?
Yeah, I think it's Georgia's time. I think they're playing better football than Alabama. There have been some inexplicable Georgia losses to Alabama. And certainly that the reason Bama's going to be in this field is because they won in Athens this year. But I think they're sick of it. They've been sick of it, and it didn't help them before, but I think this time they're going to get them. So give me the Dogs minus the 2.5.
Ian Safar, who we got?
I actually also am taking Georgia. I think Joe said it well. They're playing better right now. Georgia's definitely playing much better the last back half of the season compared to Bama, who's kind of maybe taken a half a step back. I don't feel great about the whole Bama-Georgia, you know, history here, but I am going to take Georgia. They can win by a field goal and still cover, so we'll go with that.
Indiana taking on Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. Ohio State is a 4.5-point favorite. Joe Rexroad, you begin with this one.
Well, forgive me, Kurt Cignetti, but give me – you said it's 4, right?
4.5, yeah.
It's 4.5. Forgive me, Kurt Cignetti, but I'm taking the Buckeyes, and that is my lock. If Indiana wins this game, and I know it's a huge game and it's in Indianapolis and all that stuff, man, you got to tip your cap to Cignetti for, like, it's amazing how you could get them to this level, like, with a snap of a finger. Incredible coaching. I watch Ohio State. I think they're clearly the best team, the most talented team. They're loaded on both sides of the ball, and I think they're going to win this game by double figures.
Ian Safar, who we got between Ohio State and Indiana?
Yeah, I kind of thought the spread might be a little bit bigger, but I also am taking Ohio State minus 4.5.
I will complete the sweep and go Ohio State as well. No respect given to the Hoosiers.
I haven't watched enough Indiana this year, you know? I don't know. Their schedule just hasn't been good for TV, or the timing just hasn't worked out. I haven't watched enough. I don't have a great feel for them.
I mean, the win at Oregon was an eye-opener because they went and just straight-up bullied Oregon. But that was – yeah, that's the problem with the Big Ten, is there's so few games in that crappy league that are even watchable. But this one is.
The Titans and the Browns, and what I'm sure will be a barn burner coming up on Sunday in Cleveland. The Browns are a 3.5-point favorite in this matchup. Ian Safar, who you got with the Titans and the Browns?
I mean, I guess I have to take the Browns. The Titans feel like I don't know, just not going well. This is not, we've talked about it, the offense probably won't put up a lot of points. So, bad weather, I'll take the Browns.
It'll be a win in this game if Cam Ward walks out of there on 2 feet. Give me the Browns, minus 3.5. Not that I think the Browns are good, but I don't think the Titans are going to score any points. So I'll go with the Browns, minus the 3.5. Joe Rexford, who we got?
I can't believe none of us are making this our lock. Yeah, it's a sweep of the Browns. I'm kind of regretting not making it my lock, but whatever, it's fine. Browns.
Well, I'm not making it my lock because there's something I must do this week.
Oh, boy.
Packers minus 6.5 against the Bears, lock.
Guaranteed.
I'm sick of the talking.
Yep.
I'm sick of the mouth running. We're going to find out on Sunday. Packers a 6.5-point favorite at home against the Chicago Bears. Huge game in the NFC playoff picture. We'll see how it goes. But I will lock down on the Green Bay Packers against the Chicago Bears. Joe Rex showed your first individual selection.
I hope Ryan from Chicago is listening. I hope you're listening, Ryan from Chicago. I need to see some banter between you two. So we've got North Texas Tulane. Tulane getting 2.5 in the American championship game. John Summerall moving on to Florida. Is it going to work out with him, like coaching Tulane still and all that? You know what? I just think he has a better team, and I think everything's gone fine. They understand the situation. The guy's going to get a chance to coach the Gators. I think that team's motivated to get in the playoff, and I like the green wave with the 2.5.
Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay, my lock this week is actually
guaranteed.
Chargers plus 2.5 versus the Eagles.
Ooh, Monday Night Football. Chargers plus 2.5 against the Eagles, and he is locking down it. I like that. I like that a lot. Joe, I'll go ahead with my second pick because it's the same one you just made. Tulane plus the 2.5 against North Texas. And then, ooh, thank God, we'll get to watch him in the college football playoff. It'll be great. All righty. Okay. Ian, your second individual selection.
Okay, I'm going to stick with Houston. They did well for me last week, plus 3.5 at Kansas City. A little extra half a point there. Houston plus 3.5 at KC.
Huge game in the AFC playoff picture. Houston plus the 3.5 against the Chiefs on the road. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Ian and I going head to head. He's got a lock on the Chargers. I say the Eagles, who are very erratic and very Jekyll and Hyde, are actually going to show up and play Eagles football. So give me the Eagles minus 2.5 on the road. They're going to win outright. Sorry, Harbster.
Very nice. Very nice. Joe, go ahead and close us out with your final individual selection.
I don't know why I keep doing this, because it keeps biting me. But I keep picking teams to, like, cover pretty big spreads against the Bengals, and the Bengals just flat out beat those teams. This has happened multiple times this year. And yet, Bengals at Bills, Bills minus 5.5. I just can't imagine the Bills aren't going to win this game by at least a touchdown. Like, it's inexcusable to not win this game by at least a touchdown. Give me the Bills minus 5.5.
Going Bills minus 5.5 against Cincinnati. Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
Hey, a lot of noise around this team this week. Steelers plus 5.5 at the Ravens. Lamar's still banged up. We got a little Tomlin, Rodgers bounce back. Everyone talking smack. So give me the Steelers in a divisional game plus 5.5 at the Ravens.
Nice. Steelers plus 5.5 against the Baltimore Ravens. Somebody going to end up having to winning the AFC North. We'll see who it is who wants to take charge and win that division. My final pick, give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers minus 8.5 against the Saints. Now, those games between those two teams usually get chippy, and there's some stuff after the whistle. I'm sure that'll probably happen again. But the Saints are cheeks. Give me the Bucs minus the 8.5 against the New Orleans Saints. We'll see if they can just go ahead and salt away that division there.
Yeah, I looked at that one too. Man, the 8.5 scares me a little bit, but they'll probably win by about 17.
I mean, I say salt away. Your beloved Carolina Panthers just keep hanging around, man. That's what they do. Panthers are hanging around in there.
I don't know if people have noticed, but Bryce Young might actually be able to play quarterback in the NFL.
Who do they have this week?
Bye.
I'm looking around. They're bye. That's a late bye.
Idle? Yes. Oh, they're idle.
What do we think about Colts-Jags? 1.5. Colts minus 1.5.
Yeah. I think I'm going Jags.
I think I'm going Jags too. Colts.
Colts are falling back to earth a little bit, and Jones
up.
Is hurt.
Yeah,
he's playing
3D. They said he's some type of 3D cast brace on his leg.
Yeah, they haven't looked as good the last couple of weeks. I'm going Jacksonville.
All right, I'll take the Indy Ben side and go with and Jordan from Franklin and go Colts.
There you go. Give our final thoughts on the Titans. Let's take our final look at conference championship weekend coming up next as well. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Greg on the text line asking about BYU or Texas Tech. I'm going Tech big in that one. I don't think BYU's great. I'm going Tech to destroy them again.
Yeah, they beat them. They beat them 9-7. They beat them, that'd be the Titans Browns game. They beat them 29-7.
Yeah,
first meeting, and I think Texas Tech's a lot better. And you know, Texas Tech is safe. BYU is, so you could look at the incentive thing here, but I just think Texas Tech is one of the teams that I'm really interested to see in the playoff with what they have defensively, what they have up front. And their whole front seven, they are maybe the most talented defensive front, or they're right up there at least with Ohio State. But are they a team that can actually make a run in the playoff? But I think they will beat BYU, and then, of course, then we may have the Notre Dame-Miami situation.
Looking forward to that. I kind of hope that happens. See what the committee does. What if the committee puts in Notre Dame over Miami? What's your reaction going to be?
Well, that right now is – I mean, that right now has been obviously consistently what they've done, right?
Yes.
I mean, to me, it's like if they flip it and then Miami goes in, first of all, I think you and I are the same mindset. It's like it's close enough that the head-to-head should count. The head-to-head doesn't wipe away everything. I mean, you know, Florida shouldn't be in higher ranked than Texas because Florida beat Texas. Florida sucks. But if you're both 10-2 – the numbers are pretty close overall. You look at the metrics and everything. Yes, Miami's losses are worse than Notre Dame's losses. They are. And yes, I know the game was a long time ago, but I just, if you're that close, how does it not break the, even if it doesn't quote unquote break a tie, how does it not nudge the team that won the game ahead?
It's
hard to justify it.
I've been preaching the drum all year, but like there's no
preaching the drum. That's a new one. Beating the drum is what I've been doing.
Preach that drum.
I will. But like Notre Dame, they don't have very many good wins. Like they've got a USC win. That's their best one. And other than that, they don't have good wins. So, you know, I guess
they stomp people.
It's not really your fault, but it is what it is. Like, so I think in that situation, the head-to-head would have to matter, even if it did happen on August the 31st. But you know what? It's part of your schedule. I understand that we put a lot of emphasis on what happens at the end of the year, but it's still part of your schedule.
Well, and look, with Notre Dame in particular, it is a little bit more their fault because they create their own schedule.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. If you're going to operate this way, sometimes you got to deal with the consequences of it.
People have already pointed out, if you look at Notre Dame's schedule next year, it's so weak. And it's like, I mean, this is where, again, now, I mean, Texas A&M at Miami, those are obviously challenging games.
Yeah.
USC should be, you know, in some years going to Stanford shouldn't be like a joke. Right. So, I mean, like some things are out of their control in terms of the ups and downs of other teams, but it turns out to not be great. So, I mean, Notre Dame people are going to absolutely melt down if this happens, but I think that's the right decision. It's like 2 years ago, everybody melted down about Florida State. It sucks for Florida State. The biggest thing that sucked for Florida State is they lost their quarterback and they were not the same team that earned their way to where they were. And so I think the committee got it right. I know that's an unpopular opinion and way more people think they didn't, but I think in this case, if they do this controversial thing, they will have done it, gotten it right again.
Caleb wanting to know, at what point does Jahmyr Gibbs enter the conversation with Barry Sanders in your mind, Joe?
Well, he's a great player.
Crushing it for my fantasy team. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Man. Great, great fantasy pick. He's a great player, but he's not Barry Sanders. I mean, it's just, you know, he's faster. Straight up faster player, and the start and stop is. I mean, he has a few plays last night. You're like, jeez, making people look silly. And look, we'll see. Like longevity is a big part of these things. You have a lot of players who have 2-3 amazing years in this league, especially at that position, and then they kind of fade out. But no, he's not Barry Sanders. I'm sorry. Like if you watch Barry Sanders play, when Barry Sanders was playing in this league, you know that he's not Barry Sanders.
I don't even think, even if he was, you could bring yourself to do it. That's your boy. I don't think you could do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Barry Sanders was, for people who remember that time, like it was like you needed to you had to stop and watch every time you touched the ball. It was and again, Gibbs is great, but it's not that. You know, is Gibbs the best running back in the league right now? Because Barry Sanders was clearly the best running back in the league every single year he was in the NFL. There was no argument. No Cowboys fans, there was no argument about your guy playing behind the best offensive line of all time and not getting touched until he was 7 yards downfield. So is Gibbs that? Is he the best running back in the NFL?
I mean, Jonathan Taylor's had a pretty darn good year. I know that it's come to. I know that it's been less so the last couple of weeks, but in totality, Jonathan Taylor's had a pretty good year, man.
Right.
I'd probably go him.
I guess, is that the top two? Is Gibbs that high now?
Gibbs pretty good, man.
Yeah, maybe. But again,
he's pretty good.
Tell me when he's the clear best back in the NFL and then ask me again. Yeah, I'll still say no, but at least then you can ask.
Give me a final score for Titans and Browns coming up on Sunday.
Browns 23, Titans 9.
23-9? Okay,
so I'm taking the under.
Ian, you got a final score?
Give me 6 for the Titans and, 17 for the Browns, something like that, 20 to 6, maybe, something like that.
You're really taking the under.
Yeah, probably.
Give me the Browns 10, Titans nothing.
Oh, God.
I'll go 10-0 Browns.
My goodness.
That would hit the under as well. Yes.
Yeah, that would hit. Get ready to watch that one.
Get excited, everybody, for this National Football League event.
I'm not kidding you. I will be legitimately surprised if they score a touchdown on Sunday.
Even if they like a strip sack of Shador, you know, yeah. Get the free field goal or something. You
okay,
know,
maybe
something.
Offensive touchdown. I will DK. Be legitimately surprised.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's hope it snows.
I could buy that.
So at least we have some entertainment.
Some aesthetically pleasing football to watch there. That does it for us. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.